I've never wanted something so bad in my life. The former Harlem Globetrotter, Mel saw something in me and would meet me every morning before school at 7 a.m.
You're really adding color to the saying that it takes a village to raise a child.
One day I cracked the throttle on a straight stretch and went into a tight turn and just froze up. And I went off the road, just became a giant bruise all over.
This is my favorite episode so far. Daniel is an accomplished founder with multiple exits, co-founder of Key, and an active angel investor. His story is fascinating. From being coached by a Harlem Globetrotter, to recovering from his crazy accident, to all the support he got in his startup career. This is The Helpful Podcast, and this is Daniel's tale of human helpfulness.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad, man. Welcome to the podcast. It's been a minute since we last talked.
It sure has. Yeah. It's like the world was divided pre-COVID, post-COVID. I don't know the last time we connected, but excited to be here.
Yeah, but I remember this one time, it was just like at the tail end. We're like, let's go for a walk, and like never made it happen. It's such a different world though.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to make that walk happen whenever you're in van next.
You were in Toronto. I'm moving to Toronto from Montreal in a few days. And then you now in the West Coast in Vancouver. I love the fact that I have another excuse to go there.
So, yeah, Vancouver. It's so nice being back. We're from here originally. We lived in Toronto for 5 years and we welcomed into the world our now 9-month-old daughter. We made the move to be closer to family. And yeah, it's been awesome.
I love it, man. So Daniel, for the folks that don't know you, would love it if you told us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a true Vancouverite. That's a natural segue. I love the outdoors. I love adventure travel. I'm a lifelong entrepreneur. Just couldn't help myself from a very young age. I was always doing something to build businesses or clothing lines in high school, that sort of good stuff. Started 2 venture-backed companies in college, sold them a number of years back, joined Airbnb full-time. And then I left Airbnb to start a fintech company in the sort of prop tech space, a new model for home ownership called Key. We raised 8 figures of venture funding last year, which was good timing. And then outside of that, I do a ton of angel investing and just love to be supportive in any way I can to creating more entrepreneurs, because I truly feel like entrepreneurship is going to save this world.
How I see you is always as a very compassionate community builder. You've created a bunch of chat groups and events and fireside chats. I just love being a part of those. And you're just the type of person that actually cultivates that. I want to take the chance to say I appreciate you, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that you show up, right? So thanks for being there and all the support.
Thanks, man. I feel like we're getting so much more value than you do, but I can only imagine the good things it's doing for you.
Yeah, I get a ton of value out of it, right? It's pretty cool to have one-on-one conversations like this with interesting people. I also get a ton out of it. Whenever I host an event, there's just like a flood of people expressing their gratitude. So it's always great to hear that it's making an impact.
This is a great segue to the main question of this podcast. I would love you to share a story where things were tough, but a lending hand showed up and helped you out of it.
Yeah, it's such a loaded question and it's probably happened so many times. To pick one off the bat, basketball became my life in grade 8, and I knew nothing about how to really play the game, but I just became overnight obsessed. And there was someone in my community that sparked a conversation with me. I was in grade 8. He just graduated high school. So this is someone who like probably has a lot of better things to do when he's 18 years old than to hang out with grade 8. And he took me under his wing and started coaching me, and I became his prodigy. And he opened up the world of so much more than just basketball, but just pure mentorship. He also introduced me to someone else who was just like an amazing, almost like grandfather figure in my life. His name is Mel Davis, and he's a former Harlem Globetrotter. And he brought this like crazy, like just hard knocks to the kids of False Creek, where I grew up in Vancouver. I had all the work ethic in the world, but it just wasn't channeled in the right direction. Of just like not knowing how to train. And Mel saw something in me and would meet me every morning before school at 7 a.m. to train me. And just, it was probably 20% basketball and 80% just lecturing on what it means to be a good person and respect your mom and all these sort of like lessons. And yeah, it's just incredible. For someone, I just feel like I'm so fortunate to have the amount of support and help I've had in my life with people like Mel. part of, I think, that attribution is growing up in true community. I grew up the block that I live on, and I moved back into the place where I grew up. There's only one family that's different than when I grew up here, and they've been here for 8 years now. It's pretty powerful when you look at just individual resilience that can come from being part of something bigger than themselves in a community where there's familiar faces and like consistent support.
I love that. It's like getting help initially, or the understanding to be giving, basically having firsthand exposure to giving when you're a child. I can only imagine how impactful that is on your character and your upbringing.
Yeah, I think that's where sports can be so powerful, right? Where it's so much more than just the sport itself, but you're just learning such incredible life lessons around consistency and persistence and discipline. And yeah, Mel Davis did that for so many more people than just myself. He was nominated for an Academy Award for a documentary on his life, which is super interesting. On the help piece, another story that came to mind just based on basketball becoming my life. When I was 16, I bought a car and a motorcycle when I was 15, right before I got my license. I had this small clothing line that I was obsessed with, right? Anything outside of basketball was all entrepreneurship. And similar to where I was at with basketball, it was all hustle that I had no idea what I was doing. But anyways, shortly after getting my motorcycle, I updated my crotch rocket to one that 0 to 100 in 3 seconds, and went out, and I was really excited to graduate high school and go play college basketball. And I had a very clear trajectory. And one day I cracked the throttle on a straight stretch on the island, on Quadra Island, and went into a tight turn and just froze up, knowing that I wasn't going to be able to make the turn and that I would be turning onto oncoming traffic. And I went off the road. I completely totaled my motorcycle. Just became a giant bruise all over. My ankle was turned around completely. I had a stick that penetrated right through my leg. It was pretty bad. I was on morphine for months, and my body would go into shock for months if I got up to go to the washroom. And so I had in my bed. I bring this up because you mentioned what's a hard time, sort of focusing on the hard time. I had such a great childhood with so many incredible people in the community, and everyone has a level of adversity. I really didn't experience a ton of adversity in the sense of true hardship. My adversity growing up was being with my cousins on Quadra Island and just getting beat up through motorcycle tracks or whatever else, but it never was rocked to the extent where I couldn't get out of bed for months. And I had someone I grew up with who just became such a close friend and just saw what a hard time that I was going through. And he came over every day, and I never was one to play video games. He brought over an Xbox. We got really into, I don't even know the name of this game. I'm not going to butcher it, but I tried to guess. But we just had this amazing 3 months experience where we just decided to be lazy together and to make the most of that time. And it stripped away my ability to play basketball for a few years. But instead of going to college, that guy, Remy is his name, we backpacked Australia for 6 months. And that trip itself, I draw so much inspiration from. It planted the seed to start my first company and made such a massive impact in my life, all from a friend who I knew that was just trying to be helpful and became like a brother to me and what I'd consider my closest friend still to this day.
So you've maintained these relationships over time, like the ones you're talking about in early childhood. I'm assuming you're still friends and you spend time and you're involved in each other's families.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Just relationships are typically built through hardship, not necessarily when things are just good, right? Like how do you show up or how do other people show up in your life? They're tough. On the point, it's crazy what an impact one comment can make, even when you're listening to a podcast or talking to a friend, how your life doesn't change over a course of years. It happens in 10 seconds when you have an epiphany. But I was talking to my wife about how basketball was my life, my girlfriend at the time. And this is years ago, my early 20s. And she's like, if basketball was such a big deal to you, why don't you play anymore? And I'm like, my ankle, my injuries from a motorcycle accident. She's like, yeah, that's been 4 years. You're doing all right now. And I called up a friend and I was like, hey, we should still play ball. And he's like, we play all the time. You're just like the only one who doesn't. And he invited me out to basketball tryouts. I didn't know it was tryouts. I thought we were just going to go play basketball. And it was for the summer league. And long story short, ended up joining, playing college basketball, and then went on exchange the last semester of school and ended up getting an offer to play for a pro team in Europe, which is a really cool experience. I'm not that good. I just barely would have made the team. It was like a semi-pro as much as it was like you're playing basketball. It's not a big deal per se. But I mentioned how like my basketball journey when I was younger, I was all hustle, but didn't really have that direction until that person in my community put me under his wings and actually gave me like a way to have consistency and actually work on my game. My years of college, I was so passionate about entrepreneurship and building businesses. But I was all energy without direction. And I really didn't know how to get started. I was cold calling people on Google, searching web development Vancouver, calling people just to try to get someone to point me in the right direction. I've never heard of the Lean Startup before. I didn't even know the world of venture capital was a thing. And then one day when I was on exchange, someone sent me a note around a program called The Next. It's so cool because I don't think she realizes this is like a family friend of my girlfriend's family. Like I've met a few times. I think it's wild for me to even try to think about the impact that her little message made on my life. But she sent me a note around applications to the next big thing, which is now League of Innovators, right? That was Ryan Holmes and Meredith Powell started. And I applied and I've never wanted something so bad in my life. I ended up getting into this program and it was the day before I got into the next big thing, I got an offer to play a professional basketball in Europe. It was such an easy decision for me to join the next thing because of how badly I want it. And it was so cool to have this program to just guide energy of youth entrepreneurs and give them the tools to be successful. And yeah, it was like, that's like the biggest inflection point for sure in my like career, if you will, just being able to get accepted to this program. And it was pretty cool for Ryan Holmes and Meredith Powell to take in some ways like a big step back from their proper career of building companies and invest in youth entrepreneurship. And Tara was part of the cohort as well. Tara, who started Smart Suites. And then she was just like this super passionate person around kicking sugar and and then she sold it for $400 million. There's just like so many incredible stories that came from that cohort of 10 entrepreneurs. I'm forever grateful for Ryan and Meredith for creating the stage and making that a reality.
You're really adding color to the saying that it takes a village to raise a child. There are these supporters that maybe their job was to support, but if they didn't have it in them, they wouldn't have taken the job, let's say. That ended up propelling you to another level of a foundation that was solid that you could just platform off of.
Yeah, without a doubt. When I got into the next big thing, someone reached out. I was still in school, actually, as I had one more semester left. And Entrepreneurs Organization has a program called the Global Student Entrepreneurship Awards. And that was a program that I applied, got into pitch. And it was just like another one of those inflection points, right? Where all of a sudden I'm connected to the EO, so the world's largest entrepreneurship community. When you win in your chapter, you compete for your country. If you win in your country, then you compete globally. So I went to Thailand. It was 75 different entrepreneurs from 75 different countries. Everyone's under the age of 23. And it was just like, I've been involved in EO pretty much every year ever since. I joined as a member a number of years back. I've gotten involved globally and it's just such an incredible organization. And yeah, so grateful for anyone who supports youth entrepreneurship because there's no way I'd be doing anything that I've been up to outside of like my clothing line in high school if it wasn't for all that support.
What organizations do you think are doing a really great job at supporting youth entrepreneurship right now?
So I'm really impressed by the Knowledge Society. If you're familiar with them, could be a great person for your podcast for sure. And Indium is amazing. I think it was the United Nations who mentioned that they were like one of the top 10 most innovative programs in the world, which is crazy. This Toronto program to to be a catalyst for youth entrepreneurship. What I really like about the Knowledge Society is it seems to me that it's open door policy. If you want to learn about cutting edge technology and you're a high school student, then the doors are open and you can join. It's not like a filtering mechanism like Harvard or the Thiel Fellowship or all these other programs that exist. They can take any average child who has curiosity and some work ethic, and what they've been able to do with those children is super impressive. The GSEA is a great program that I went through, as I mentioned, the Global Student Entrepreneurship Awards. Peter Thomas is an amazing philanthropist and entrepreneur. He just sold one of his like retirement projects. He sold his equity position for $100 million. He used to run Century 21 in Canada. He's just like incredible track record. And he is donating $100,000 cash every year to the Canadian winner of the GSEA. So that's actually like creating such a nice carrot for more students to apply. And then League of Innovators is awesome for any entrepreneurs in Canada under the age of 30. They have really interesting programming. I'm a venture advisor to their fund. It's a fund to actually back the most promising youth entrepreneurs across the country. Junior Achievement is obviously one of the best. I've been advising. Junior Achievement is looking to do something in the space. Okay. Say too much, but to support youth entrepreneurs. And one idea, if anyone's listening and they find interest, the CEO of Junior Achievement and I met before going on TV, and I guess on the makeup chairs, which is like the best way to meet someone. It was pretty funny. But there's one idea that's been haunting me where I feel like a lot of people don't get started because they rather don't have the support and mentorship, whatever infrastructure, which Junior and LOI other groups support. But the other side is actually like capital to get started. There's now this like big trend right now of pooling outsized returns. So I'm part of a community called Tando Pooling. I think over $1 million you make in a year goes back to the pool. And then it's split amongst like your form group that you're in, right? So if you make $100 million in a year, you're only giving up under $2 million of that. But who cares, because you have like over $9 million that you're still. So it's like trivial, but it benefits everyone. I think there'd be an interesting program to layer on top of like a Junior Achievement, where you could actually give a high school student $25,000, complete forgivable loan. They hit milestones. Maybe you're going from $25,000 to $100,000, or you'd have to model it out, but it's only paid back if that high school student or if that youth entrepreneur, whatever age range decide, makes more than $500,000 a year or more than $1 million a year. And it's just a small portion of the upside. But Richard Branson, Mark Cuban, these are all Junior Achievement alumni. And like, why would they not want to support a program that gave them a start? So anyways, it's something that I've been chatting with the CEO of Junior Achievement and Peter Thomas and others about, but I don't have the bandwidth. It really takes someone that would be joining full time to bring this into the world.
I love it. Have you ever looked at Front Row Ventures?
Is it Real Ventures college fund arm? That's invest $25,000 and then they'll increase to, they have the option to invest another $75,000 or something like that.
Exactly. It started out of Real Ventures. As far as I understand, they're their own separate entity now.
Nice.
Like separate GPs and LPs and everything. They have an army of students who invest into other students. So as a student, you get to be a GP and you get to empower other students.
Wow, that's
to
so cool.
Chase their dreams. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And there's a lot of college startups that go on to do big things.
I love it, man. I have a question for you before we close. What kind of help are you always willing to give?
So the way that I can usually add the most value is supporting entrepreneurs and running a process to raise capital. Venture capital is closed, which is really unfortunate, but it's just the dynamics of the industry. It can be closed even as an investor, right? Trying to get access to some of these funds as an LP, but it's especially closed as an entrepreneur. And a lot of entrepreneurs don't know how to necessarily run the process. It's an entrepreneur's organization where I'm an active member of EO and YPO, where you have these proven entrepreneurs, but they don't. And now they're like interested in AI or whatever it might be. And they have a business that I have no doubt that they'll execute really well on, but they're like cold emailing VCs and they never hear back and they don't know why, right? Anyone that's looking to raise money, I host a bunch of events, as you mentioned, and there's sort of private events. You can't see them anywhere online, but always happy to extend an invite. Hosted Rick Hoffman, David Sachs, co-founder of Airbnb, Wacharzak, Andreessen Horowitz, Sequoia, like all these typical names in the industry. And then I kept in touch with anyone that we host. I have probably a list of over 300 VCs that I have relationships with. And whenever a founder reaches out and they're looking to raise money, I'm always happy to go to the list and see who's relevant. The company is at the stage, and I'm always happy to provide feedback on what they might do differently to actually have earned a seat at the table with someone that might write a check for.
It's one of the most helpful people that I know. I'm really happy that you came on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's fun. I think as you go through life's adventure here, typically the like best metric to measure your life is how much help you're able to provide people, right? And lives, measuring lives change instead of any other metric, like dollars in the bank. Obviously, businesses have to be sustainable, but I truly believe that you can do good and do well. So yeah, I really appreciate the fact that you're spreading this gospel and decided to include me on an episode.
Thanks, man. I like super appreciate you. And hopefully you come back on the pod again and share more stories.
All right, great. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man.